Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. Today I'm joined by multiple OCRWC podium winner, Annie Duby. Annie takes a strategical approach to racing, and her process of learning and adapting has served her well. We chat about her start in OCR, the new competitive format at Spartan, and what she's learned since she began racing. We also discuss the OCRWC 24 location of Mammoth Lakes and what changes to expect this year. Welcome to the OCRWC podcast, Annie Duby.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I've had a bit of a spate recently of guests where I go, how has it been so long until I've had you on? I've been doing this for a while now, and you are one of those. I mean, you're a fantastic athlete, but in terms of OCRWC, you perform incredibly well there. And yeah, I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you here.
No worries. I mean, technically, I've only done two of them, so it hasn't been that long, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, fair enough. You've done very well at those two.
Thanks. Yeah, it's one of my favorite events for sure of the year. I'm like, it's been on my calendar even before I did the event my first time. There just like was always a conflict or something that came up. And then finally I got out to Stratton 2 years ago and absolutely loved it as I expected I would. And I think it's going to be on my calendar for all the years to come. So
I hope so. Well, yeah. It makes sense for you to be there. And I mean, the landscape's going to look slightly different this year. Lindsay won't be racing.
Yeah.
You took podium all weekend, basically. You, Lindsay, and Nicole. It'll be interesting to see who turns up and what happens. It's weird. So when I think about the event, it almost feels like 2022 was ages ago.
Right.
And I wasn't at 21 because of COVID, and 2020 didn't happen. But also 2019 feels like it's about 15 years ago.
I know.
So you're saying I've been at two events, and I'm like, but you've been here for like the last 8 years. That was 2 years and two events.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's so much going on every year that it like, I feel like it goes by so fast, but then like I get everything mixed up in my head and like the years are just like all a blur. I can't separate like one event from another. So yeah, I feel you.
It starts to get hard. I find with events that I go to, and I love traveling for events. It's kind of one of the things I love about OCR. There's always a kind of standout moment of something that I remember from the event, and it might not necessarily be anything to do with the event. I remember the first World's Toughest Mudder I went to, which was in Alabama, but we stayed in Pensacola. The first thing that sticks out to me is kind of I was sitting on a pavement waiting to be picked up, eating instant oatmeal out of a cup in Mobile. No, I can't, near Mobile. And I was just like, I don't know why I loved it so much. So those little things that are specific to where I've been for something help things stand out. But it's always the most random memory.
For sure. Yeah. It's funny.
You kind of when you came for your first OCRWC in 2022, you did really well. Like the competition was pretty fierce for the women, as it usually is. It's usually pretty high. Mm-hmm. But what's been your background in sporting? I mean, I actually don't know anything about your background in terms of sporting. So I'm asking from a completely like blank slate. Where have you come from? What did you do?
Sure. Yeah. I guess like technically came from a running background, but not necessarily like as competitive as others in the sport. Like I didn't really run competitively in college. I went from like running high school cross country track to then like running at like a club level or more so just like for fun and to meet people in college. And then I dabbled a little bit in like the road running scene, did a few marathons, which was really fun, like chased the like Boston qualifier and then did like some big races that excited me. And through that process is kind of when I discovered obstacle racing. I was like training for one of those big races, and Spartan was in, I was living in Arizona and Phoenix at the time. And I knew that they had an event there every year. The gym that I had been training at, like had a team that would go and compete every year, but I just like hadn't done it. And then some buddies of mine from like back high school, college were coming out for the race and talked me into doing it with them. And I just like had so much fun. We just like ran it for fun in the open wave and kind of made fun of each other. Like my friends like flailed all over the obstacles. I kind of got through it pretty easily. But it was just like a really fun time, just like rolling around in the mud and stuff. And definitely like piqued my interest, like, oh, I should do more of these. I had no idea that there was like a competitive side of the sport when I had signed up for that race. But lucky enough, I actually met Steve Hammond that weekend. I had volunteered with him and like had marked the course.
What a person to meet on your first
Right.
Spartan
Like,
race.
what are
What
the
an
chances?
introduction.
Yeah. I had no idea like how big of a deal he was at the time or anything. I was just like, who is this crazy Brit who's like just like tearing it up through the Arizona desert on his
I mean, that's
like
what I love about
little
Steve. You
gator?
wouldn't have any idea about what a big deal he is because he's so
Right.
chill. Like, I mean, he's
Yeah.
not chill. He is a crazy Brit, but he's also so, he's not ego driven, is he? He's great.
No, he was like incredibly welcoming and like made me feel right at home, which was awesome. And he actually was the one who was like, I think you should try running the competitive side of the race. And so like the next af the day after I did the open wave, excuse me, the open wave, I came back and raced. I don't remember if it was the elite heat or the age group heat, but I did pretty well in that. The only obstacle I missed was the spear throw, which was a theme for
Standard.
like the next several years. but I was like, oh, this is really fun. Like, and then I immediately started signing up for more of them, a raced age group for the next like year, I think, or like the rest of that year. That was 2018. That was like early 2018. So I continued racing age group through that year's world championship. And then the next year I was like, okay, I'm going to bump up to elite now. Kind of like got my bearings and figured out like what was going on. It
Yeah.
takes a minute in this sport. Like it was
That's just
confusing to me at first, like how it worked. And because it's not like in road running, that's not really a thing. There's not like, I mean, technically, there's like obviously like the pros who we watch on TV, but like in a regular, local race, there's not like an elite wave, a competitive, like an age group wave, and then an open wave. It's kind of just like you run the race. So,
Interesting, isn't it? Because that's kind of a constant conversation that's being had about how to format obstacle course races. I think part of the problem is they look so tough. Like when I say to people, like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm like, oh my God, I could never do that. I'm like, you genuinely could. You genuinely could do it. Like you might not get every obstacle, but you could genuinely have such a brilliant time doing it. So there needs to be that kind of welcoming aspect of this is open, this is fine, this is okay, this is a permission to not be perfect kind of vibe. And then there are the competitive people that want to be getting the recognition for doing well or having a goal to work towards, but I'm not sure we've still yet found what the perfect setup is to invite people to race and be competitive, but also invite people to just take part. And I mean, if you've got any ideas, please send them on, because how would you think it would work? Like what would be your ideal setup?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because like there it kind of depends on the race itself. Like there are obstacle races I've done where like for example, I raced this past fall in the Belgium race, the like FISO World Championship. And in a race like that, where there's like very technical obstacles early in the race, like especially in the shorter, like the 3K race, you need to have like separation. Like there's got to be like limited heats where everyone has a chance at like attacking the obstacle and they're not going to be bottlenecked at all, especially at that level. But then, like, I would say on your average, like Spartan race, for example, where they're like sending you up a mountain or, out into the desert to run a mile or so with like you'll hurdle over something or go under, over unders or that kind of thing. Like, I think you could put out a pretty big wave and people aren't going to get bottlenecked through that.
Yeah, it's going to
So,
break up quite quickly.
yeah, I mean, I know it's like that complicates it a bit, but I think there has to be, you have to kind of take that into consideration when you're putting the heats together. But I would say in general, I like to, race with like a bunch of people. Like I was excited when Spartan Race said, okay, we're going to start sending off the elite women with the men, because sometimes those heats were just like so
So
thin
small,
that
yeah.
you're like racing completely on your own for a majority of the race. And to me, that's not what it's about. Like, I want to be out there with other people, like pushing myself. I definitely am like, I don't know, like I'm motivated by those around me. And like, I'm definitely a competitive person, and that like, if there's someone to race, I'm going to race them. So if I'm off on my own, like I might be like checking out the scenery and like doing, like kind of just losing that competitive edge a little bit, which like that's fun and all, but like if you're there to race, you're there to race. So yeah, I thought that was an exciting announcement. And I think having just like one big competitive wave in the place where our sport is right now, I think makes the most sense, just because there is like a limited number of competitive athletes. And like the more like when people come and watch a race, like I think it's a lot more exciting for spectators to see like a bunch of people racing together versus like three women at the start line.
I agree. I do agree with you, and I do think this competitive wave that they've brought, I'm going to say kind of back in, makes the most sense. I remember my first Spartan race, and I just decided to sign up for Elite. I mean, I probably came like 20th or something, but I was like, of course I'm going to sign up for Elite. Why wouldn't I? Because it was that or Open. And I thought, well, Open's going to be, because I was always reasonably competitive, but And it was so good, like standing there with so many people surrounding me. In the UK, we've got a guy called Spartan Phil, and he wears like a little leather hot pant thing, and he's got these abs, and he's got a hat, and like he plays this music, da, 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 whatever it is. I'm going to be corrected. And it feels epic. And I was like, this is amazing. This is such a great experience. And then it changed to elite and age group. And when I went back to racing after having my daughter, and I did an age group race, and I think there was about like there's maybe six or seven of us, and it was two age groups combined. And I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like that experience. And I was postpartum. I was at the back immediately. It made me feel kind of a bit, I was like, oh, okay, I'm coming last. Feel good. And it doesn't really matter where you come as long as you're really, really pushing and all of that. But it didn't feel great. So I personally loved that experience of the one big wave. It really geared me up ready to run and getting to run with guys as well who I like and I want to be around too. So I do agree, but I think Tough Mudder has always done a fantastic job of being the people's race. This is a safe race to do, and you can have fun, and it's okay to have fun. Even though there used to be really long distances in my head anyway. But yeah, they've really worked that kind of. They've got the ex They've in fact got the most extreme endurance event in terms of OCR with World's Toughest Mudder. But then they're also I think they've done the community side incredibly well. So it's tough, isn't it? It's tough to kind of invite everyone and kind of get it right, but. And it's weird because you say with running, like road running events, they're open, people do them, but I guess we've run our whole lives as kids. We just toddle around and yeah. So it's always an interesting question.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one that like as long as the sport's around, it's just gonna go back and forth on like, what people's opinions are. And I'm sure it will change constantly, but that's part of it being, a relatively new sport, I think.
It is a baby. So you raced age group for about a year and then you moved up to elite. And how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what you were saying a little bit with like racing age group. It was interesting to me because in a way it was great because I would go to these races and like they would send you off in this big heat where like you're racing with guys, you're racing with like people of all different ages, and you're not really sure who your exact competitors are. And like, there'd be points when like people would ask you like, hey, what age group are you, like mid race, like what age group are you in? Like, they're like, you know, like trying to figure it out as they go through. And that was always kind of strange to me, but I will say it was cool in a sense that like, I would just, you know, run my own race. I'd race who, like I said, whoever was around me, whether they looked like they were my age or like 40 or 50, like I'm racing them. And I did like that aspect of it, but I think like you'd get the same experience if it was just like one big competitive wave, if not, maybe even more so, because, you know, there's probably people who are of similar capabilities who are like drastically different ages or genders. Like I feel like you shouldn't be like put in this box of like, all right, you're in the 20 to 24 group and like that's who you're competing against. Like, I mean, I think some of these venues, there's just like not enough of that. Like you're not getting enough, like, you know, women in this specific age group for that to really warrant like its own thing. I think just being able to race whoever's there, whoever shows up, whoever has, you know, similar skill sets and capabilities of you is like what's going to propel you further in the sport and like, and make you a better athlete overall. So that's my opinion.
I like it. It's a good opinion.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, it was interesting, like finally making that leap to elite, even though I had been racing like, you know, almost a year at that point. It was pretty scary. Like, I had heard of some of the names and like I just pictured them as these like high caliber athletes, like, you know, that everyone looked up to, and I didn't put myself in that boat at all. I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I show up at the start line like totally freaked.
You're like,
what am I doing here? But luckily, like, you know, it did work out, and like that was the right move, and it made me better. And I don't think I'd be where I am today if like I hadn't made that jump. So yeah, I'm grateful for it, but it was like definitely intimidating. Like that, I try to like encourage other women who aren't necessarily like super confident in making that jump to like do it sooner rather than later, because like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, you come in last, but like at least you're racing the best, and like
you're
only
last in elite.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you're only going to be improving yourself by doing so, because if you're constantly winning every race by a landslide, like, that's not going to make you better. What's going to make you better is to like train and race with people who are one step or three steps above you.
And the more women that do it, the more women that will do it. It can seem really intimidating if it's such a small field. And yeah, these women, you know, in every country, we kind of know who the ones that are doing well. And it is a little intimidating. Like,
for sure.
I've not met anyone in OCR that's not absolutely lovely. I do think it is one of the nicest sports out there. So that's not a slight on anyone's personality, but
no,
their skills are intimidating and what they can do is intimidating. But if more women took part, then more women might go, oh, okay. Well, I know that I've performed again, you know, this way against this person and this way here. So maybe, you know, this is my permission to move up and do this. What
totally.
Was it that made you take that jump into elite from age group? Because you obviously thought about it a lot and it was a big mental step for you. So how did you get that?
Yeah. I mean, it was time. It was obvious to me that like, I, you know, if I wanted to continue in the sport and like wanted to be better and improve, like that was the only option, because I had, you know, in my first year, I had won world championship in my, like, not even in my age group, but like in all the age groups. I was like, this is probably like not where I belong. But at the same time, like, I learned a lot through those races. Like, those did not go perfectly whatsoever. I made a lot of mistakes. And like, I think it was cool for me to go through that process of like, all right, let's like put less pressure on myself and just like learn as I go. And then when it's time to step up, like, I felt pretty ready. I was scared, but ready, you know, if that makes sense. Like,
it does. And I guess in every walk of life, people can kind of hold themselves back when they're scared but ready.
Yeah.
And it does take it's a risk and it takes confidence, but it's fantastic. And you're right, that's where you'll grow, even if it's not always perfect. You know, if there's still gonna be growing pains, I guess, but that's how we get there.
Yeah,
What were the
absolutely.
things that you kind of struggled most with in terms of, when I say struggle most, I mean kind of which obstacles were the ones that really got you that you then had to work on when you say things didn't go perfectly or.
I would say less so like specific obstacles and more so just like navigating like the racing itself. Like I think like running obstacle races, especially in the US, is kind of intense. Like a lot of the races I did in my first year were like out west mountain races. And I had like dabbled a little bit in trail running by this point, but I was not like prepared at all to run, 2+ hour races in the mountains with obstacles. Like I had no idea like how to fuel, how to hydrate properly, like what to wear, like all of those things went really bad like multiple times. And like continued to even when I made that jump to elite. Like it was like a big process for me of like perfecting and tweaking and like learning my body and like how to pace myself and like how sometimes like when I first started trail running, I didn't realize you could like walk parts. Like if it got super steep, like
That's why we
that was
like
like
it.
a very foreign concept to me. Like I remember like in high school cross country, like if we were caught walking, like that was not allowed. So like that's just kind of how I grew up. And so when I switched to trail running, like I would just be like dying going up these mountains because I was like, oh, you have to run like no matter what. But like then, you see people like Lindsay power hiking up this really steep hill and you think, oh, maybe I should try that. Like maybe
If
that
she's
makes
doing that,
sense.
I'm gonna do
Yeah. So you kind of just like learn little things like that every race. And then like as far as just like terrain and stuff, I think that was a big hurdle for me and continues to be like technical running, especially like downhill. I get really freaked like anytime it's like a very steep straight down like a big bear type race, like I have to really talk myself into being like, this is okay, you've trained for this, like just let it go. I'm like in my head so much about that stuff. So yeah, I would say less so obstacles and more so just like navigating the race as a whole and like the conditions and the terrain and the weather, all of that stuff.
That's a really good answer. I mean, I just kind of presumed obstacles because you'd come from a running background. So I kind of thought in my head, well, the running is sorted. She's gonna be, you know, but that's really interesting that even with your background, there was still a lot for you to work out. And to find what works for you.
Yeah, obstacles for me, like even in that first Spartan race I did, I really like felt natural on them, which is
Nice.
not like how a lot of people enter the sport feel, which I'm like thankful for. I think it just like came naturally to me,
Yeah.
but I will say one of my first races, this might even have been the second year, we had like a really cold night. I was still living in Arizona, and the next day all the obstacles were like frosted over, and I had no idea that was like ever going to be a thing. I didn't know that you could use gloves or like there was like ways to like little tricks and stuff that you can use to get through obstacles like that, like the chicken wing method, stuff like that. And I failed like almost all the obstacles.
Wow.
And so that was like a huge wake up call for me was like, oh, it's not always dry and perfect and like easy. Like there are wet days, rainy days, cold, snowy days. Like you have to prepare for everything. And that's, I mean, something I love about the sport now. But something that was definitely new to me the
It's
first
hard
time
though,
it
isn't it?
happened.
It's difficult. I mean, I'm thinking of it from a UK perspective. It's very rare that we have warm races, you know, in the summer, yeah, but we winter racing is not as much of a thing as it used to be, but it's definitely a thing. And I mean, it's just soaking wet here constantly. It's
Right.
really wet all the time. I don't
So
even think we've had the
different.
last frost of the year yet. So, you know, it's a thing. But if I were to race somewhere that was hot, I mean, you have the glasses that you wear that are very kind of what's the word? Recognizable, and you've got your kit very sorted. I would die in the heat. I would absolutely die in the heat. There's no way I could cope running in hot weather, because I mean, I've just never really been in it. I find it really tough. But there are so many variables, and that is a great thing about the sport, like from terrain, elevation, weather, and even weather that could just be incidental. For Mammoth last year, we had pictures from 3 or 4 days before the event where there was snow.
Right,
And
that's
then
true.
I know for the 15K, it was quite cold when people set off. Leon, I think, was wearing a jacket, which he managed to he'd set his kit up so he could pack the jacket away, which was really smart. So he kept himself warm. And then it got so hot. I mean, I'd packed a winter coat and hiking boots, and I ended up having to buy shorts because it was so hot. How there is so much prep to do for a weekend, for example, like that, or in another area, mountainous area where there's going to be. You just don't know what you're going to be given and how the day could change. Like it is a huge
Totally.
part of the sport, and we've definitely seen performances impacted by that.
Yeah, I show up now to every mountain race, any race at altitude. I have everything. Like I have the heavy black mitts, the like fleece line leggings, the jacket, and then I have like my regular, short sports bra. Like I'm ready for any like drastic change in weather because I currently live in the mountains too, and like it changes so
On a
drastically
penny,
every single day. I'm like, it can be 67 and sunny, tomorrow that's what it's supposed to be. And like a couple of days ago, it was like in the 20s.
it's crazy,
It's
isn't it?
wild. So,
That'd be really interesting, like post to see though, this kind of like the whole preparation of kicks. It's something that I think, when I first started, and I think the reason I got into writing and talking about OCR was because I love to prepare. I love to know everything there is to know. And so I'd look everywhere and try and find out. And I kind of started in the standard way of like, this is my kit review. These are the shoes I tried. But it's also like, and you kind of forget that that's still a thing. And I'm at a point where I'm coming back into racing again. And well, not racing, running. And I'm like, I need shoes. I need, sh but my feet, because I've been wearing On for years, and I've definitely got wider feet now. And I don't know. I don't know where to start with kit. I don't know how to dress myself anymore. And I'm like, wow, I'm back in that position. And yeah, we do still need all that stuff. We still need all that information. It's so vital for newbies and, well, people like me who just don't know anymore. Like it's really interesting.
And then like that's like not even considering, sometimes we have these races where they're like, all right, now you've swum through this alpine lake that's like 20 degrees, and then you have to get out and run another 10 miles. Like it's really like I don't think people quite understand what the sport is, and like how many little finicky things there are that can go wrong. And like it's so true. Like we need, more information for people coming in. Like here's like a guideline, essentials you need for any race, especially in the mountains. Like, 'cause yeah, at least for me, it was like you have to just have everything go wrong in order to learn. Okay, we'll just not do that next time. Like maybe we should bring a jacket next time. Like, yeah. It's funny though. I mean, sometimes like that's just part of it, learning and making mistakes and growing and,
Kind of like life. Yeah, I always think back to, I can't remember which Spartan World Champs it was, but it was a very, very, very cold one. It must have been, maybe it was just
2019.
post-COVID, huh?
It was 2019.
You know what I'm talking about,
Yeah, I know that race. I didn't finish that
But I just think that's such a great, that's always the example that I come to in my head when I think about the difference that kit can make and that kind of planning. And it's so I'm just so that anybody who's listening who doesn't know, it was the one where, what was it, in Tahoe? I actually
It
don't
was
remember much apart
Tahoe.
from this situation that I'm talking about, which is terrible, but it was cold, mountainous water. And Nicole had packed her jacket into a bag.
Yes, in
And
like a
there was a
dry
swing.
bag with,
Yeah. It was reasonably close to the end, I think. And she'd packed this away into a dry bag, or she could took it off and put it into the dry bag, did the swim, and then took it out and put on the dry clothes, which, I mean, that's quite a laborious process, but that ended up being the game changer in terms of the race. And
Totally.
it just shows such experience and thought, and this planning and stuff having gone wrong, and her going, yeah, lots of things can go wrong. Is yeah, I mean, as well, this is something that always struck me. It's both male and female athletes. Like, despite the fact that you guys are very fast, it can happen that you can, things can slow you down, but your body fat is so low. Like, the cold happens really quickly.
That race in particular was just, it was so like, it was the perfect conditions for things to go badly. Like, it was super cold, but it was a lot warmer. Like, when we started the race, it was sunny and kind of nice. And so a lot of us were like, oh, we are way overdressed. Like, I was like shedding layers, like in the starting corral. I like threw my jacket off. And then you get up the mountain, and it's like 20 degrees colder and windy. They send you in the swim, plus like a frozen dunk wall, and then you run down the mountain, and like you like that like change in like effort and body temperature, like keeping your core temperature up while you're like going downhill after a cold swim is quite difficult. Like, you have to be charging. And if you're not, like, you're just going to get cold and hypothermic and lose dexterity in your hand. Like, it was just like the perfect recipe for disaster. And I think almost all of us were victims of it, but we all learned. So,
And then to the desert, I guess, where things are
Oh
completely
my
different
God.
again, and you've got sand to deal with in the shoes and burning heat. And
Oh my gosh.
I do think it's so cool how many different race opportunities there are happening. Like, I do, part of me kind of thinks champ season is getting really, really full, and it's really hard for athletes to choose what they're going to do and where they're going to go. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, you don't have to do everything, I guess. And, you can race in the desert, or you can race in the rainforest, or you can race in the mountains. You can run long courses, short courses, 24-hour courses. Like, it's cool. I'm seeing it as a very positive sign of growth. Obviously, there's probably going to need to be some bending to make it fit for everyone, but it's just opening up even more avenues for
Totally. Yeah, I
what
think it's
can we
really
do? What
cool.
do we need
Like,
to learn?
I mean, the ability now, like, up until now, kind of it was like you basically race what's given. Like, it's, there's going to be a series of like a short, like short races, long races. You kind of have to be prepared for everything. And now you can totally make a season off. Like, if you want to be a short course athlete, like, there is enough for you to do in that, and in that little niche like category. If you want to do ultras, like, there's plenty of stuff there too, and then everything in between. It is kind of cool. Like, I think I agree with you. It's overwhelming when you look at like all of the races, and oh, everything's a championship, and like, what? This is too much. But like, I feel like that it can't be a bad thing to have all these races. Like, if anything, it's like great opportunities for people all around the world to be able to pick and choose, like, okay, geographically, these make sense for me with these distances, and like, show up to what you can. Sadly, I think that means like some of the championships, quote unquote, are going to be watered down, but hopefully, like, with that, people become so specialized that like it will make the sport more competitive in a way. Like, you can't, the same person probably down the road won't be able to win like a 24-hour race and a 3K. I
I
think
mean, they
that's a little
shouldn't
bit
really, should they?
it's silly, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I know there are some incredible athletes, and the fact that you can do both those things to a high level is amazing, but it shouldn't really be the same athlete winning everything.
Yeah, no, they're different sports. Like, it's,
Is it interesting you say that, though, because it's, in the last few years, the crossover between kind of athletes on the American side of the pond and Europe have not, they've not met so much. And there's been a few questions in my head of like, what if this person race against this person? And we had a reasonably good mixed turnouts of like the best of the best in Abu Dhabi last December. And that was interesting to see. And people are starting to pick their races, like Ryland comes over for Trifecta weekend, and him and Gregory Bazilico have a good head-to-head, and they're both fantastic athletes in their, you know, areas. So it is nice to see when they come together, you go, okay, yeah, there's actually a similar level, and it's a good battle. It's not that one over here is great and one over here is good at this. It is nice to see those battles happening. But yeah, I guess the more that happens, yeah, I guess in the short term, the more that happens, the more it'll be watered down. But hopefully long term, I'm really hoping it just means more opportunities for people to race and take part, I hope.
I think at least for I think in where the sport is now, it's like the players are already kind of like they're like jack of all trades kind of thing. Like a lot of us, you know, just like can race all the distances because we've been forced to in the past. But hopefully, like newcomers, like, you know, young people coming into the sport can be like, all right, you know, like the 3K distance really excites me and I'm gonna go all in on that and like become the best at that. And then like other people, you know, might choose the longer distances or mountain races or whatever it is. And like I think that excites me for like the future. I think that's we're pretty far from that, realistically. But like if we set up the sport in a way that it has those channels, I think it does make sense. You know, going forward, that like it, you know, people have different opportunities to compete, you know, just as like other endurance racing has, you know, like, you know, you can do like half Ironmans or full Ironmans or half marathons, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's good for the sport for sure.
It is good, and as we say, you know, it's one baby steps and two baby sport. We've got a long way to go, but yeah, everyone is kind of working towards it. So saying all of that, what's your preferred distance and what's your preferred type of race that you would choose if you could?
I would say right now it's probably like a mid distance race with like mountainous terrain. I really enjoy like, you know, like the 15K, or even like maybe longer than that, like up to 20K or 25K. I haven't really dabbled into ultras yet. It's something that's
Yet.
interesting to me, but I just can't say like I can't say if how I'd do at those until I do it. I'd like to think I'd do well at them, but as of right now, I think like more of that middle distance, like 2 hour range to me is really exciting because you can push pretty hard, especially like with the level of competition we have, like at some of those races, you do have to push quite hard for like a long period of time. And that to me is exciting because you're kind of like teetering on the edge of like, am I gonna bonk or am I gonna make it? And like it's like stressful, but also I don't know. I like seeing like how far I can push myself in that kind of like extreme race, you know, competitive atmosphere. And like I think anything too short, it's almost like 10K or under, I feel like you basically have to be guns blazing and there's no like I don't know. There's not really like a big endurance aspect of it, but like once you reach that 2 hour range, you're dealing with okay, I have to think about fueling, I have to think about how hydration, I have to think about weather potentially, and just like preparing for all those different elements in one race while also navigating obstacles and stuff is that's really exciting to me. And yeah, I think I don't necessarily know if that's the race distance I'm most competitive at, but it's definitely the one that intrigues me the most.
I think if it intrigues you and you enjoy it, that's the one, that's the right thing to choose, because that's what's going to spark you.
I
And
find that oh, sorry.
no, it's okay, that's good. That's probably then what you'll become better at because you put more energy into it.
Yeah. I think also just the 3K. I haven't raced it a ton, but every time I do, it is like the most painful thing I've ever done. And like, and then it continues to be more painful. And I'm like, oh geez, like I don't know. Like standing on a start line at a 3K to me is terrifying because you just know how bad it's gonna hurt for those, like 20 minutes or whatever. And it is, I don't know, not to me, it's like a little bit extreme. I'll continue to do them because I think it makes like, I like doing things that will make me better, like, forcing yourself to do obstacles in
Yeah.
that like really high heart rate, like lactic, like jelly arm state is only going to make you better at doing them in like a longer race, I think. So I'll
I
continue to do
agree.
them,
It's
but
just scary.
they're so
You saying that, I just kind of I can feel the
Yeah, I'm like
I know I
sweating
get
thinking about
nervous
it.
at the start of a race when I'm not racing. It's almost like I can and even if I'm doing a race, say if I'm like doing a road race or whatever and I'm not competing, I still get so nervous. Like I had a video from me before I did a race last year. It was just a road one. But and I was, running at the back of the pack. There was never anything in it for me, but I was taking a drink and my hand was like shaking. There was so much adrenaline there. So the feeling of, I mean, all of the events, of course, but I think for me as well, the 3K sounds really scary because it's so short and there's so little room for error. I mean, saying that with even the longer distances, there's very little room for error because you guys move so fast. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a different level for sure. Like you can definitely, I've had things go wrong in like a beast distance race or a 15K race and like come back from it. There's no coming back from anything in a 3K. Like if you like trip on like a route at the start line, it's like you're going to be fighting to make up those like, 2 seconds or whatever the rest of
Jesus,
the race.
yeah. I always think that when I'm driving, when you're running slightly late, so you drive like a little bit faster than you normally would, and it makes about a 1 minute difference on a long journey. But if you get stuck in traffic, it can make a huge difference. And I always think it's crazy how you can be slowed down so easily, but it's so hard to catch up. So hard to make that time back up. So would you, I don't know, say a race like Mammoth, that we had the 15K and it was very mountainous, very hot, high altitude. Would you be fueling during that race?
Definitely. I think that was actually one of my biggest mistakes. I would say this past year in Mammoth was like I didn't fuel enough during the 15K, and bonked pretty hard in the last like 5K or like last 3K of that race when I don't know if you remember, but like basically we came all the way down the mountain, hit, what was it? I think it was Urban Sky,
And then you went
and
slightly back up again. Well, not
yeah,
slightly, still quite a
we had
long way
like a
up, but not all.
sandbag carry up with like it wasn't even just a normal sandbag carry, but you like go like under like a
Bungee ropes.
bungee rope thing, and it's like super steep, and that like I got halfway through that carry and it just like wrecked me, and I was like, oh man, I still have 3K to go and this is going to hurt bad because like you get up that carry and then you continue to climb more
You can
with
see
like
the finish line.
yeah you can like you feel like you're in the festival, like people are cheering, that's great and all, but like you're going away from it like at this point and you're like, oh shoot, like I know the 3K course because I already ran that and like I still have that whole thing to do basically. That was pretty painful. I had to like dig super deep in that last, like 10, 15 minutes of that race. And luckily, like I was like didn't really have anyone, I think, on my tail or anything. So I could let off like a little bit, but
But you never
you don't want
know.
to finish a race like that. Like you want to like push to the end. So I was kind of just like bonking, like seeing spots, like am I gonna make it? I definitely didn't feel enough in that race, and I think it's hard at altitude. Like that race in particular is like you're starting, I want to say it's like close to 8,500 feet, something like that, and then going up another couple thousand. And it's like cold at the start, but then it gets hot, and like that's just like a tough race to fuel and hydrate properly because it's just like a lot of like changing variables, and there was
It
like a
was
pond.
cold, the weather in the, I remember in the morning when we started, we were sitting on the deck doing the coverage, and I was really wrapped up, and like as I was trying to like peel off layers really quietly as the race went on, because we were kind of like in a bit of a valley and the sun came over, and suddenly it was really, really hot, and it just, yeah, it was tough for the athletes. I know you had the dip as well, and I'm not sure if that, I think that came kind of whilst it was still pretty cool, so then you
Was
had the
pretty cold.
doing the water in the cold, but then the race getting hot, and wow, tough.
Luckily, though, I will say, like, it was good. I think good in a way that it warmed up quick because that's the swim or dip or whatever was quite cold. Like, I remember the water being like pretty shocking, and getting out, and like we had a couple of pretty technical obstacles right after that. And like I had very numb hands, and like I was just like doing everything I could to try and like regain feeling in my fingers after that swim. And then luckily, like the next, mile or so, you're like traversing across the mountain. The sun came up, hit us, and I was like, oh, thank God, like I can like feel my body again, because it was a pretty shocking cold water swim.
And it's swims are very different to, I feel anyway, where you have to put your head under and get the chest. That's it's when the chest goes under and the head, it's like, so that's a big different hit to just doing a swim. So I'm glad the weather stayed the way it was and it got warm, because we were worried that week leading up, like, is this going to be okay? But talking Mammoth and the elevation, etc., we've just announced this week that we are going back to Mammoth. I know everyone's kind of like, we've unofficially been talking about it, but it is 100% official. One of the things that we've announced is that the race location has moved slightly, so we will be heading kind of down to the village, so that we're not going to start as high as we were last year, which is great for everyone staying there. Everything's going to be closer to the village. It's going to be more fun, it's going to be easier, but also you're not starting with the elevation, and I would imagine that it should probably be warmer in the morning if you're down at the, I'm just trying to think of where the mountains are and when the sun comes up, so that's going to change quite a lot actually in terms of the race.
Yeah, I think that's a great decision. I think, yeah, I would say, I mean, I loved the race and the course and everything last year, but I would say like the biggest drawback of that venue was probably just like lack of, like there wasn't like a lot to do right around. Like you kind of had to drive back into town another 15 minutes to, get a bite to eat or
And I think
so.
it the what's it called? Atmosphere suffered for that, absolutely. Like, it was
It
a
did
nice
feel a little
location
bit
for,
remote.
nice location for sport, but not a good location for how everyone wanted to have fun together and be together and support. So I think we all noticed that, and we've gone, right, how can we change that and make it better this year? And that's the idea. So fingers crossed. But yeah, the more we know, then obviously we'll share so you can prepare for
Yeah, that's exciting.
if to
Cool.
come. If you so you can better prepare. So I mean, that's right. Well, it's right at the end of the year, 6 months away. Gosh.
Oh wow.
What's your year looking like? What have you got planned? What are you hoping for?
So, I still have a lot of decisions to make, but so far I think I'm headed to Big Bear for my next race, for the Spartan series. I just kind of on a whim decided to race the first one in the series, kind of just as like a rust buster race, like also the idea of racing somewhere warm when it was really cold and snowy here sounded awesome. Then it ended up being cold there, which was of course not great, but yeah, I'll do that one. I'm not sure if I'll do the third one or not. But after that, I'll be doing over the summer like a heavy like trail racing schedule. I'll be in Tahoe racing for Broken Arrow again in June, and then There's a few races overseas that I'm looking at through like June, well, more like July, August time frame. And then probably do a bunch of like the obstacle racing championships like throughout like fall is
Cherry
what I'm.
pick some of the champs.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I mean, you
But
have the options. There's plenty to pick from, so.
yeah, I'll definitely be in Mammoth. I haven't decided quite yet like what other ones. But I think there's a lot of exciting stuff. Like I've always talked about doing trifectas in Greece.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be the year.
That one is honestly, and I say this all the time, that's kind of top of my wish list just to even be at. It's, I mean, it looks like such a great weekend. The race director is makes really, really good events. Like that, he's been the same guy the whole time. He puts his heart and soul into it, and they're fantastic events. And it just looks like such a, it really looks alive. It looks so much fun. It's just never really worked out for me to be there, but I really, I don't know, fingers crossed maybe this year too, but it does look like that's kind of top of the bucket list for me.
Yeah, I love that. I think, yeah, everything I've heard about it, and even like this past year, I watched some of the race coverage, and they did such a good job. Like the course looked absolutely beautiful. Like I was pretty surprised how awesome like the trail running looked in general, just
God,
like
yeah.
out up in the those like I don't know, up in those hills. Really like appealed to me, and I was like, oh, that sounds really nice. So we'll see. I think if not this year, definitely like next couple of years I'll be out there for sure.
Yeah, that's something else. And all the guys that do the coverage, shout out to the European team, the guys who do that are all athletes. So the way they film, they each just follow an athlete. They're like, right, you're mine. I'm gonna follow you. And they can, and they can
Yeah, they
do it.
did
And
such a
it's
good job with like the
incredible.
recording. Yeah, it was
Like
amazing.
they're so talented in themselves, and then they're filming at the same time because it's really hard to organize that kind of thing and to get people who can do it. So they do really well. So that's it's a nice shout out to them. Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking about ultras, and I was thinking, does she mean trail ultras or does she mean obstacle course racing ultras? But I suppose you could mean either, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean either. I think I, yeah, I'm interested in both. I guess like probably nothing crazy. Like I don't think I'll do like 100 miles or like 24-hour race or anything, but like I think, you know, a 50K trail race in the mountains or like a 50K or maybe like a shorter fixed time obstacle race really appeals to me, like a looped one. I think I don't know. It's just like always been an intriguing thing to me. Like, oh, could I last that long? And like, what? It's something that like I know there's a lot of uncertainty with it. Like a lot of things that can go wrong, and like your body breaks down and all of that stuff, and like being able to manage it and adapt on the fly. Like all of that really excites me, just to like try and learn something new, basically.
I think from what we've learned about you in this chat, like that sounds like it's exactly like your kind of thing. I won't be surprised to see you doing it at some point soon. Like all the opportunities to learn, to plan, to understand the kind of getting around problems when they come up, that sounds like it's the thing. And also how much you have to push yourself to succeed. It sounds like it's exactly your bag.
I think sadly there wasn't like much to watch of the race in Saudi Arabia, but like the idea of that race, and from what I've heard, was actually quite cool. Like I think the setting and like the unique atmosphere of it really, like if they held it again, I would definitely give that a go, just because like
Would you do like a
I'm
regular Infinity event, or do you want the kind of the different location?
oh I'm not yeah I think I'd be interested in any, like, just find one that sounds exciting and do it. Yeah, I'm not super particular on that, but obviously like the prize money at that race was, it was actually quite difficult for me to like not show up at it, because even like in the couple weeks leading up to that race, I was like, looking at flights. It's like, should I just try it? Like,
Why
should I
didn't
just,
you?
you know, put myself out there and like give it a go? I was not ready for that race. I took like a decent off season, and had
It
just
was very
been
early.
starting running again. And like, I've dealt with a lot of injuries in the past couple of years that like, I just didn't want to risk ruining my whole year
No,
by
that's
like
really fair.
going crazy and running, you know, 60K in like
Yeah.
in a day and like messing up something and then having to take 4 months off. Like that to me wasn't worth it. But if I have, you know, if I have plenty of time to train for it and, you know about it more than like a month ahead, I think that'd be an exciting thing. So I'm interested to see if they'll hold that again.
It's interesting. I wonder if having more events in that kind of area of the world will start to change people's seasons. Because if you've
Yeah.
got December in Abu Dhabi and then it was February in Saudi Arabia, it's
Right.
that's not really leaving an off season, but they are the ones that pay pretty well and they have the good competitions as well.
Yeah,
It's
that's a good
tough, isn't
point.
it?
It's yeah, I mean I've now raced in Abu Dhabi twice and it really extends your season quite a bit to try and stay fit all the way to December and then like be expected to be fit again in April or whatever. I think like we kind of said before, I think it's gonna, you know, people are gonna have to choose like, do I want to be racing out there in the middle of winter or do I want to be, you know, racing the fall season, you know, in the US or Europe, or do I like you've got to pick and choose and like maybe have shorter, more like condensed seasons and like and then like an like a random couple off seasons and in between. I'm not really sure what that looks like,
Yeah,
but
and there's so much working out to be done, isn't there?
yeah.
And kind of people working together to make it work for the athletes too. Because if it doesn't work for the athletes, they're not going to be there, and without them, there is no sport. So it's important to learn these things and to get it right.
We'll see.
Wonderful. I think on that note, let's wrap it up. It's been really nice talking to you. It's been a random conversation, but it's really nice to hear your thoughts, get to know a bit about you. And yeah, it's always so interesting to hear an athlete's perspective because you're the guys who are doing stuff and everyone's got a slightly different view, but as many ideas as you can have from behind the scenes, it doesn't really mean anything unless you know what the people doing it think. And yeah, it's really interesting to hear from you. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really nice to chat more with you as well. I know I've seen you out, you know, at OCRWC, but it's good to like see you out of that atmosphere and, you know, get your take on some other stuff as
Thank
well.
you. Amazing. Well, have a very good season. I hope it all goes to plan. I hope I
Thank
get to see you
you.
in Mammoth and everything works well. But you know, if not, I hope everything that you do is good for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting and I like that they're changing it up a little bit and I'm
Yeah.
excited to see what it will look like this year for sure.
Me too. So
Yeah.
excited.
All
Amazing. Thank you.
right. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.